Chapter 3. Tuesday. It's only a matter of time before Midoriya, smart, analytical, good-natured, but compulsively suspicious Midoriya, began to put two and two together and realize something strange was going on with his mentor and his homeroom teacher. The first instance he could remember clearly was shortly after the conclusion of the sports festival, when All Might had taken him shopping for supplies on a sunny day. Though mobile, Midoriya was still recovering from his injuries, and the department store run was more of a pleasant distraction than anything else. The towering man floated through the aisles with him, helping him pile up his cart with all manner of things, and purposefully looking away whenever something with his face on it made it into the cart, which was a lot. All Might was a little tired-looking, but still happy to be there, and Midoriya was over the moon to have him along, gabbing about all manner of things for all sorts of reasons. Then the young man turned around and realized All Might wasn't next to him anymore. His thin, gangly personal hero was parked motionless in front of a shelf of kitchen supplies, one finger to his chin. He looked worried, or maybe just confused. All Might-sama? Midoriya pushed the cart beside him and looked up, then smiled. It was a cute mug with a cat on it, where the cat's tail curled around to form the handle. "That's cute," he exclaimed, then cocked his head to the side. He still had a little spare money from his tuition allotment from the state, and he got an idea. "Do you like cats? Do you want it?"
"Oh, no, I mean..."
All Might shook his head hastily, hiding his hands in his enormous pockets.
"Not for me. It just caught my eye."
They moved on, but the towering man excused himself later on, and Midoriya didn't fail to see the mug stowed in a bundle of simple workout shirts that All Might would proudly pay for as compensation for all the ones they trashed at the beach. Midoriya thought it was funny, or just curious. The idea that his hero would be shy about wanting things with cute cats on them was pleasantly befuddling. But the clumsy bit of subterfuge made All Might a little more real in his wide eyes. Then the mug appeared on Aizawa-sensei's desk, and, according to their instructor's malevolent glare, under no circumstances did it belong to anyone else. With astonishing speed, the rumors flew. Someone bought it for him. Who? While half the class was still catching up on the fact that Aizawa-sensei liked cats at all, Ashita was happy to tell anyone she knew about the day she interrupted him playing with the brown cat that lived behind the General Studies building. And he nearly murdered her with a fluffy cat toy. True story. The rest of them were comparing notes. Did Aizawa-sensei have a girlfriend? Was it Midnight-sensei? A few had seen the two teachers being friendly in the halls and thought that proof enough, while others insisted he would have to find someone outside the school to date, because he was so serious about being a teacher. Still others said he was too serious and scary to date anyone, and who would even want to? A few girls admitted to having guilty crushes on him, which scandalized and rocked the boys, and derailed the entire conversation into the concept of bad boys and the value of personal hygiene and combing hair, etc. Midoriya stayed quiet and let the rumor mill run, his own thoughts turning careful circles around what he'd seen and heard. He'd outright asked All Might if he was scared of Aizawa-sensei, and he said no, but his behavior was consistently odd around their other instructor. He couldn't help but think about when the big hero lingered outside their classroom, looking downright nervous, or the time Midoriya walked into the staff room to find the two pro heroes standing together, presumably discussing something, and All Might pulled away, no, practically jumped away from the other man, with a tense speed before greeting him and hurrying him along to their designated speaking spot. He and his personal hero even ate lunch together on lucky days, and one time Midoriya saw Aizawa-sensei turn the corner with a tray in hand, see them, and walk away. He just thought it was all a bit, odd. He didn't have anything solid enough to pitch a theory, Besides the very real fact that All Might was a bit more bumbling in social situations than any promotional materials gave credit. Then again, Aizawa-sensei was pretty terrifying, and Midoriya couldn't blame anyone, even the world's number one hero, for being nervous around him. Those were just the facts. The feeling of there being a secret something to actually worry about, however, didn't really hit until All Might texted him a secret meeting place one ordinary Tuesday and showed up to a tucked away classroom covered in sweat and hiding a small carrier under his gigantic coat. Then it became very clear that Midoriya was actually being caught between two particular somethings, and maybe that wasn't a choice position to inhabit when one of the somethings was a harried, larger-than-life hero who had crammed himself into an ill-fitting academic career and all its laws and stipulations with an awful lack of foresight. All Might-sama, what are you doing? Midoriya stammered, hands out. You know we can't have cats in the school building.
Shh, I know.
All Might said with a wince, a finger to his mouth as he bent and straightened the carrier, making sure it was level. He paused briefly to scratch at the see-through panel, where there was an answering meow, high and sweet.
But this little one, he doesn't have a home right now. I'm keeping him until he's a little bigger and can be adopted. But I worry he can't be home alone at my apartment.
What Midoriya didn't know was that his hero had been at school on Monday, and then after, spending a little too long at Aizawa-sensei's apartment. All Might's feline guest had shredded the better half of his hero suit, and he'd needed to take it in for repairs. And he was very plainly panicking at what else the kitten could do unsupervised. That was as far as his thought process had gone, apparently, and he had far too much faith in the resourcefulness of youth. But, All Might, I completely understand, but I'm not so sure this is the best idea, since I have to be in class in maybe like 20.
It's simple. I just need you to make sure nothing happens to him during school hours, okay? And make sure he eats,
All Might added. Like it was the easiest thing in the world. Izuku's mouth dropped open. Did cats have trouble eating? Did this one? All Might prattled on.
I'll come and get him every day at 5. He's a good boy, trust me. Just don't let Aizawa-sensei see you, okay?
Midoriya's hair bristled, aghast at the deceitful demand.
What was there in the world that Aizawa-sensei didn't see?
Every day? Midoriya squeaked, too late, blood draining from his face as true panic started to brew in his gut.
But All Might, I have a class also every day? You teach it sometimes? How could I?
His favorite thing is being scratched on the hindquarters. There are 3 cans of tuna in the bag,
All Might shouted as he ran off, then poked his head back in the room, one outstretched finger straight as justice itself.
Do not let Aizawa-sensei see you, my boy. That is of top importance to this mission I've given you.
And with that, All Might was gone, along with any further explanation. Midoriya stood in the eerily empty classroom and clutched his fists and tried not to breathe too fast, reminding himself that he'd gotten into UA on a lifetime of hope and a gross bit of hair, and he wasn't going to be thrown out for a furtive bit of cat-sitting. Right? And despite himself, he was excited to scratch the little guy on the hindquarters. Trying to get a grip on this situation, Midoriya leaned down to check on his new charge, who was curled in the front of the carrier, bright blue eyes glinting in clear interest. He was a small thing, with light golden fur and a low, sweet purr. Then Midoriya rummaged through the accompanying bag, sighing miserably as he realized that All Might hadn't left him a can opener. Wasn't that just like him? He checked his watch, and then hurriedly texted Uraraka and Ida in their group chat.
Room 382. Please help.
Within 7 minutes and 13 seconds, the door slammed open and Ida flew through with Uraraka clinging to his shoulders,
both wide-eyed and painfully red from exertion. Ida shook and sputtered in time with his engines as Uraraka struggled not to slide off his back, hair mussed into a slick spire from the velocity, both clear signs of a used recipro burst.
Midoriya-kun, are you okay? What's the situation?
Ida bellowed, thick arms out in a defensive position. Uraraka grasped weakly at those arms as she slid the rest of the way off and plopped to the floor, eyes crossed. Midoriya quickly averted his eyes from her skirt and her legs, which had fallen akimbo.
Wait, what's wrong?
He blushed and shook his head and put his hands up, beginning to realize that there had been a vital miscommunication.
I mean, it's not dangerous or anything. Are you guys, okay?
Deku-kun, the last time you asked someone to come to a random place with no other explanation...
Uraraka puffed, pounding at her chest. Midoriya jolted, and then chuckled miserably, mortified.
Oh no, sorry guys, I didn't mean to scare you. It's nothing like that, I swear. It's just, I have a problem, and it's so close to homeroom, and I need a little help.
With no further ado, he explained the situation, and showed them the precious kitten now pawing the see-through panel on his carrier, mewling insistently. Once the initial panic and cooing had passed, both of his friends had very different approaches to the conundrum now facing all three of them, each with their own positives and negatives.
"Why in the world would All Might give you a cat to care for?"
Ida asked, one hand to his chin.
"This sounds highly suspicious. Does the cat have a quirk, or will it contribute to the fate of the world in some way?"
Uraraka gave a sheepish grin and gently flapped her hands, almost like she was blowing away the strange comments.
Ida-kun, I don't think it's all that serious. All Might is a softie. He's always rescuing cats from trees and stuff on the news. Maybe this one just got away from him. He's not the best at balancing his job and his time as a hero, but it's just because he seems to care a heck of a lot,
she said so very sweetly, being respectful and adeptly stepping around the flaws they all knew he had. She paused after a moment of thought, frowning.
But why couldn't his secretary take care of it?
His...
Midoriya trailed off, feeling distinctly ill, and his classmate pointed at the ceiling.
That super tall guy we see around campus all the time. Really skinny, light hair, and kind of sick looking. I mean, not to be rude, but, you know, he should probably see a doctor. He's All Might's secretary. I don't know his name, though. Why couldn't he have taken the cat?
I think he's busy doing something for All Might?
Midoriya irked out, sweating under the clueless gaze of his trusted classmates, that he would absolutely never lie to.
Yeah, he's got to be really busy. This is temporary, anyway. It's something All Might asked me to do, and I'd like to help him out, you know? Please?
Absolutely. Such is the glorious yoke of a hero. It doesn't really matter how it happened. What matters is that this little guy needs our help, Ida announced, smacking his fist into his palm, decisively. Midoriya breathed out in a rush, thanking his higher powers that Ida was so narrow-sighted and, focused. Determined. That was the word. The three sat down to strategize in the remaining 10 minutes until homeroom, discussing the opportunity inherent in the empty classrooms that dotted the hectic campus building and the comparatively low volume of students and classes. After a little bit of research, it turned out that the room they were currently crouching in was prime real estate for stowing feline refugees. Midoriya had to wonder if All Might had any idea when he chose their meeting place, or literally just threw out the first room number he could think of. Either way, things seemed to work out for the hero, and Midoriya was happy, if a little stressed, to be along for the ride.
So, if we lock the door, no one should come in,
Ida concluded confidently. I've never seen anyone come in or out of this room, so it's probably abandoned.
That's not true, Ida. Every room gets used sometime for something. Let me see.
Uraraka bit her lip and looked down at her phone, sifting through some internet application. It looked awfully cute to see her so concentrated. But Midoriya hid his face until she tapped her screen victoriously. Expression brightening. Ah, it looks like Present Mike's music class is in here Wednesday morning and Thursday afternoon. Well, that's not bad. We need to find a place for the kitten for those hours, but otherwise we should be fine. A quick safety check of the cabinets revealed amplifiers and a full brass set, along with a gaudy karaoke machine that would have put any local club to shame. It was definitely Present Mike's room. It was decided. They gave a three-way high five, overjoyed to have settled on a plan. Midoriya didn't mention that Aizawa-sensei wasn't allowed to find out about the cat. It would have lent a decidedly dangerous air to the operation, and he also couldn't bring himself to say the words aloud, like it would summon their terrifying homeroom instructor by name alone, red eyes glowing, expulsion papers in hand.
I'm sure he feels cramped in there by now. Do you think we can let him out while we're gone, so he can stretch his legs?
Uraraka asked unsurely, peering into the carrier on her hands and knees.
As long as we keep the classroom door closed,
Midoriya sputtered, hoping he was right. Uraraka looked up at him with sparkling eyes, and Midoriya pushed forward with their plan to avoid spilling over into unintelligible sounds. Okay, so like this we can visit him during lunch hour and bring him food. And I'll get him a litter box and some toys, Uraraka chimed in, giving a little hop as she got to her feet, gathering her bag. Toys are a vital component of the mental stimulation necessary for cats at this age, as well as the key to developing a proper hunting instinct. Ida concurred with a very serious nod, standing as well. I'll contribute a share of funds so that you can invest in a wide variety and see what he likes best.
Sounds like a plan, Midoriya said excitedly, then wiped his eyes just a little.
A tiny bit. Just like one tear.
You guys are the best.
No, you're the best, they said at the same time, flashing thumbs up.
Midoriya tried very hard not to cry.
Lunchtime came, and once again Midoriya was trying very hard not to cry, but for an entirely different reason. There were toys everywhere. Everywhere. Piles of them. Thousands.
Ida-kun, he whimpered, horrified. This isn't what I meant.
Somewhere to his right, Ida cheerfully explained that he had nipped out during his free hour and inquired at the nearest pet shop about cat toys, where the staff was apparently happy to grant him a year's supply of everything a kitten could possibly want just for asking. It took Midoriya a moment to remember that, despite his humble and businesslike airs, Ida came from a very famous hero family, and as a result was super loaded. He didn't often think of that aspect of his classmates, the haves versus the have-nots. But even Uraraka looked a little unnerved, staring at the piles and piles of cat toys, drifting up onto her toes a little from her quirk.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You doing something in here?
Everyone turned to see Kirishima, hanging wide-eyed in the doorway, lip tucked curiously under the chainsaw line of his teeth, rumpled coat slung over his shoulder. Midoriya jumped up immediately, aiming to make his body as big as possible and block the entire subterfuge. But the little kitten, having three unattended hours to get used to its freedom, slipped right through his legs and addressed Kirishima with a jaunty meow. Kirishima gasped and shut the door.
Oh, man, you are freaking kidding me!
Their classmate crooned ecstatically, immediately diving to his knees in front of the kitten and putting a hand out for sniffs and introductions. Their feline charge sniffed and introduced himself accordingly, and rubbed enthusiastically along Kirishima's big hand.
Aw, he's so cute! What a cutie! Oh man, when did you guys get a cat?
It was just like Kirishima, to thoroughly relish the presence of something enjoyable without worrying about the fact that it was never, ever supposed to be there in the first place.
Kirishima-kun,
Midoriya forced out, trying to keep his plan from falling apart in the first half day of this, along with the cat toy explosion. This was not a good start.
Don't say anything. It's a secret, please.
Oh, yeah, sure, I won't tell, Kirishima assured him with a happy grin. And everyone hoped, against hope, he wasn't lying. Well, it wouldn't be a lie. It would just slip out, and they all knew that. Uraraka's cheeks puffed out, and she stepped forward officiously, leaning down with her hands on her hips.
All Might gave him to us. He just needs to stay here for a little while until he can find a home. But no one can know, okay, Kirishima?
Uraraka said a little more sternly, catching Kirishima's eye with difficulty, as he was so wrapped up in playing with the kitten.
What? It's important. I get it. I won't tell,
he said, with something just short of a pout, mussing up the kitten's ears and cackling when the little thing set upon his fingers with every available tooth.
What's your definition of tell? As in, who won't you tell?
She pressed. Kirishima looked to the side. Like adults? He guessed, raising an eyebrow. Then, face shining.
Does Bakugo like cats?
Midoriya, head swimming as the bell rang for the next hour, could think only one thing. This definitely wasn't how you did secrets. At all. It was going to be a long week.